Once again, this is Jim Rau, your host, Gather the Outcast Radio Ministry. Great to be with you this morning. Great to have you in that listening audience. If you have your Bible there this morning, turn it to Ephesians 4th chapter. We're going to start in verse 7, and we're going to talk about the structure of the church. We're going to talk about the framework, the pillars of the church, the steel girders that hold up the church, and that is the fivefold ministry that Paul, the Apostle Paul, talks about in Ephesians 4:11. And it's important, brothers and sisters, to know this, that God has a plan for the church, that he has a plan for his disciples, for his people in the church, to function in the church. And before I start this message, I just want to encourage each and every one of you out there listening to me today, if you don't have a church home, if you've never been a part of a church, I would strongly encourage you just to humble yourself and to go into a good Bible-believing church. Become a part of a church. Just lay down your preconceived ideas. And maybe some of you were in churches 10 or 15 or 20 years ago, and the Lord maybe is speaking to somebody today who was in a church years ago, and you got hurt, you got betrayed, you felt like that you weren't accepted, you weren't wanted. And God is just saying to you today, he wants you to step into a church, just to lay down your pride and your preconceived ideas about what church is. Churches have changed over the years. Not necessarily the Word of God has changed, but churches have changed in their structures, their format. And many of the religious spirits that ruled churches in the past and spirits of condemnation and judgment, sometimes those spirits leave with different pastors and different boards of elders and different governing structures. And so I just pray that each and every one of you listening to me today, if you don't have a church home, that you would make an attempt to find a church home. And I pray, too, that if you're listening to a particular speaker on the internet, that's great. That's wonderful. And continue to supplement your teaching and your understanding of God's Word and the fellowship. Continue to supplement that with teachings that you can find on the internet. Many good preachers out there have live streaming of their services. But I would encourage you to take that step and go into a face-to-face church, a church, a functioning body, the body of Christ, in your locale, in your hometown, wherever you're listening to me today. Find a good church where you can touch brothers and sisters, where you can have people pray for you, where you can have people encourage you and strengthen you and rebuke you and reproof you if necessary. But this is God's will, that we be in a functioning body. And he has not left us without good directions. He has not left us without a good blueprint for the church. And God is a God of order. He is a God that when we pay attention to his order and we do things his way, the way that he has designed, and we pay attention to his blueprint, it is always to our benefit. It is always to the benefit of the body of Christ to, as much as possible, participate in church and participate in the body of Christ in the way that God has laid out the blueprint and laid out the plans for that body to function. Well, in Ephesians 4, verse 7, Paul starts talking about the church and the gifts that were given by Jesus Christ. And it says in verse 7, to each one of us grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. And therefore God says, when he ascended on high, he led captivity captive, and he gave gifts to men. Well, that phrase, when he ascended on high and led captivity captive and gave gifts to men, that is a phrase from Psalm 68, verse 18, where it talks about, it was a prophetic psalm, and it was talking about Jesus Christ dispersing the gifts to propel and equip the church in the work that he has given them to do. And so when Jesus Christ came up out of the tomb, the first thing he did in the spirit was he went down to hell and he released the Old Testament saints and he led the captivity captive. That's what he's talking about here. That he led captivity captive and he gave gifts to men. Well, where did Jesus lead them? He led them up to heaven, all those Old Testament saints that had been in bondage, that had been in Sheol, and waiting for their redemption, waiting for their salvation to be completed. Jesus Christ went to hell, and he took the keys of hell away from the devil, and he redeemed those men and women with his blood, and he set them free. He led the captivity captive, and he took them to heaven with him to sit at the right hand of God. And Paul goes on to talk about this in verse 9. He goes on to then explain what he means by when he ascended on high. And verse 9, he says, "Now this, he ascended, what does it mean but that he also first descended into the lower parts of the earth?" So Paul says he ascended on high, but first, before that, he descended into the lower parts of the earth. Well, the meaning of that phrase, the lower parts of the earth, it does not mean the grave. That's not what Paul's talking about. He's talking about down into the recesses of the earth where Sheol was, where those Old Testament saints were held until the redemption of them was made possible by Jesus' death and shedding of his blood on the cross. And so in verse 10, Paul goes on to explain then, "He who descended is also the one who ascended far above all the heavens that he might fill all things." And so first he descended into lower parts of the earth, and then he took the captives, and he took them captive himself, and he led them up, and he ascended then up to heaven, and then he sat down at the right hand of God with those that he had redeemed and led out of captivity to sit in the Father's kingdom. And then in verse 11 here it says, here are the gifts then that Jesus Christ dispersed. Here are the gifts that make up the pillars and the functioning structure of the church, the body of Christ, of Jesus Christ. "And he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors, and some teachers, for the equipping of the saints for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ." Well, that's a Paulism, they say, where all of those phrases are run on together. That's what they call a Paulism, because Paul, in his writings, many times ran phrases together and made a real long sentence out of it. But basically what Paul is saying here is that Jesus Christ, when he came and led the captives up out of Sheol, he was then initiating the body of Christ on this earth. He was starting off, or you might say, kick-starting the body of Christ on this earth. And he had started with his own 12 disciples, or at this point in time, it was 11 disciples. And from that, he dispensed the gifts that were the structure, and still are to this day, the structure of the functioning body of Christ. And just as we have in any building that is to stand, any building that is expected to stand against storms and high winds and hurricane force winds and rain and all kinds of other stuff, so too the body of Christ has been built, and it is expected to stand, and God has created it in such a way that it will stand against the storms of this life. It will stand against the high winds. It will stand against the fierce rainstorms and the torrents of rain and anything that the devil can throw against it. The church is going to stand because God has designed it with these things in mind, that it would stand against every kind of wind and every kind of blowing of doctrine that would come against it. And so the fivefold ministry is outlined here in verse 11, and these fivefold ministries are the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and the teachers. And so I'm going to take a look at each one of those functioning offices, and I want you to know, brothers and sisters, that these are the functioning office gifts of the ministries that are operating in the church today, and I don't believe for even a second that any of these offices has been done away with. There are some teachings that teach that we no longer need prophets, we no longer need apostles, we no longer need evangelists, or we no longer need this. We need them now more than ever before. Let me repeat that. We need them now more than ever before. Plus, I don't see anything in God's Word, anything in any of the Scripture that says that these offices and these functioning gifts have ceased for any particular reason. I don't see anything in his word that would make me believe that God does not still ordain apostles and ordain prophets and ordain evangelists and pastors and teachers. And I think you're going to see, this is a revelation that God has given me here recently. I think you're going to see people turn to the apostles and turn to the prophets and turn to the evangelists more now than ever before. As we survey the world and we see darkness coming, and darkness, it seems, everywhere you look, there's just great darkness with threats of nuclear war, ISIS on the rise, moral decay here in this country, and all kinds of sin and debauchery that is not just tolerated but celebrated. And I think you're going to see in the days and years ahead, I think you're going to see these office gifts, that they're not only going to be embraced, but they're going to be encouraged by people that are hungry for the Word of God. They're going to be encouraged and embraced by people that are desperate to know God's power and desperate to see some vestige of hope, some little bit of light out there. And when the darkness gets so great and the light comes in, then people will seek the light. And I'm speaking of the light here, the light of Jesus Christ and the light of the kingdom of God and the light of the church as it functions to reach out to the lost, to reach out to those who don't have a home, or reach out to those who don't have food or don't have clothing or don't have water. And so God has designed the church that the functioning body of Christ would be most effective when the darkness is the greatest. And that only stands to reason, because if the world was embracing truth and the world was embracing righteousness, there would be no need for the body of Christ. There would be no need for people to preach the gospel. There would be no need for evangelists and pastors and teachers. But now, as the darkness grows darker and the deep darkness covers the earth, you're going to see people cry out for words of the prophet. You're going to see people cry out for the apostolic revelation of how can we go forward in this darkness. How can we go forward to counteract this darkness that wants to creep in and take over every person's life and wants to tear down the body of Christ and tear down great denominations and great churches? And so I think you're going to see the fivefold ministry come to the fore as it never has before. I think you're going to see the fivefold ministry be drawn to the fore, be drawn to the front, and people will cry out and say, we need you, we need the apostolic, we need the evangelist, we need the prophet, we need the pastor and the teacher like we never have before. And so I'm going to just speak briefly about the five different offices here. First, we have the gift of apostle. Apostle simply means the sent one, and that is the one who takes the obligation, the burden, to be sent out from their home, to be sent out to a place that they don't know, maybe, or they're not familiar with. They're just laying down their life, and they're the sent out one. And so the apostle is the governor. He's the highest ranking of the pillars of the office gifts. He is the highest ranking because he is the governor. He is the one that establishes the government. God sets him into a place, or sends him into a place, to establish the government. In Ephesians 1:1, Paul says, I, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God. And Galatians 1:1, Paul says, I, Paul, an apostle, not from men nor through man, but through Jesus Christ and God the Father, who raised him from the dead. And so Paul's saying, my ordination didn't come from man. It wasn't given to me by anybody on this earth. It was given to me by God. I was ordained to be an apostle by God, and for his purposes, he set me aside to do this. Well, Paul says in 2 Corinthians 12:12, he tells the Corinthians, truly the signs of an apostle were accomplished among you with all perseverance in signs and wonders and mighty deeds. And so we see Paul saying that the evidence of an apostle in your midst is one who is followed by signs, wonders, and miracles, or signs, wonders, and mighty deeds. That is the evidence. And Paul said in other scripture, he said, I didn't come to you with persuasive words or crafty logic. He said, I came to you with power. I came to you in the evidence that I showed you was that power was with me, the power of God. And so that is one thing that the church is lacking today. It lacks embracing the supernatural. Many churches don't embrace the supernatural. They discount that we even have miracles anymore, or that we have a need for healings. We've got such a great medical establishment. And I say to you today that God is still doing miracles today. He is still healing people today. He still rewards people that have great faith. He rewards them today. And I pray that you would embrace the supernatural of God, because that is one of the signs of the apostolic anointing. Well, the second office gift is the gift of prophet, and the prophet is the guide. He is the one that drops the plumb line, and he comes in and he speaks correction. 1 Corinthians 14:3 says, he who prophesies speaks edification, speaks exhortation, and consolation. Well, edification is building up. It builds up the body of Christ. It encourages through exhortation and through consolation. It comforts and it consoles. And so that is the prophet's job. He comes in and he speaks a word of truth. And his word of truth puts people on their faces before God, because it reveals the secrets of their heart. And they know when they have been spoken by a true prophet that God has revealed the secrets of their heart to this prophet. And so the prophetic is very alive today. It's very alive and well. Thank God we had the prophets of the Old Testament. Thus says the Lord, their word is not going to change. But we also have prophets today. They're not adding to Scripture. They're not taking away from Scripture. They're prophesying a now fresh word of God that fits within the bounds of Scripture. It fits within the guidelines of Scripture. And God will always have his prophets. They're all over the place, and they are to bring correction into individual lives, and they are to bring correction into the body of Christ. The Lord told Jeremiah in Jeremiah 1:5, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I sanctified you. I ordained you a prophet to the nations. And so God told Jeremiah, even before you were born, Jeremiah, I knew you were going to be a prophet to the nations. I set you aside to do that. And so he gave Jeremiah his calling even before he was born. I believe some of you out there listening today, you have been called to be something, a prophet or an evangelist, a pastor, teacher, whatever. You've been stuffing it. You've been running away from God. And God wants to bring you into the fullness of your destiny. He wants to bring you into the fullness of your calling. And whatever it is God has put on your heart, whatever burden he's laid on your heart for you to be in the body of Christ, I just urge you today to be obedient to that, to step forward in that. And whatever God has called you to do, if you step forward in that, he will provide for you, he will bless you, he will strengthen you, and he will walk with you, and he will encourage you. He will not leave you out there abandoned and forsaken. In Jeremiah 1:9, the Lord says, Jeremiah says, behold, I have put my words in your mouth. See, I have this day set you over the nations and over the kingdoms to root out and to pull down, to destroy and to throw down, to build up and to plant. And so God told Jeremiah, I have set you apart to speak to the nations, to build them up and to plant them, to destroy and to throw down. And if you read through the book of Jeremiah, you will see that's exactly what he did. God put him in a place to speak to the nation of Israel, and God put him in a place to speak the words of truth that could not be denied. And they wanted to kill Jeremiah. They tried to do it several times. They didn't want to hear the word of truth. And yet God strengthened him and protected him. And so as you pray about your part in the body of Christ, if God has called you to be a prophet, it's a very unique and special calling. And God will sustain you. He will provide for you. And he will strengthen you in that calling. Well, the third office gift is the gift of evangelist. And this is the gatherer. This is the office gift God has given me when I'm operating as an evangelist and just preaching the word. Like when I go to Africa, just standing up on that platform and preaching the word, God has given me the great blessing and the grace to do that. And so that is the gift that I operate under. I feel like that is my highest calling. And in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 2, Paul exhorts Timothy. He says, "Preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and teaching. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. But you, Timothy, be watchful in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry." And so the evangelist's calling is to bring in the masses. He looks at the forest and he sees the biggest tree out there, and he wants to go chop down that tree. And then when it's down, then he goes to another forest and he chops down the biggest tree there. He doesn't stick around to make planks or toothpicks out of it. He wants to see every person come to hear the gospel and come to make a decision. And so he's not happy staying in one place, preaching over and over and over to the same people so that they continually hear the gospel message over and over and over. He wants to make sure everybody gets to hear the gospel message. And so that is the evangelist calling. He gathers in those that are lost. Well, the fourth ministry is that of pastors, and I'm going to lump teachers in there with them, pastors and teachers. And these are the guardians, who are the pastors. They guard the flock. And the grounders are the teachers who ground in sound doctrine. And 1 Timothy 3, verse 1, Paul tells Timothy, "This is a faithful saying. If a man desires the position of a bishop or a pastor, he desires a good work. And he must have a good testimony among those who are outside the faith, lest he fall into reproach and the snare of the devil." And so Paul says, if a person has a desire to be a bishop or an overseer or a pastor, Paul says that is a good desire, that is a good work. And Paul says then that you must be outstanding. If Timothy 3, that chapter talks about the qualifications for a bishop and for a pastor. And vice versa, in Zechariah 11, 17, there's a warning for the worthless shepherd or the worthless pastor. "Woe to the worthless shepherd who leaves the flock. A sword shall be against his arm and against his right eye. His arm shall completely wither, and his right eye shall be totally blinded." And so God takes very seriously those pastors that he places over flocks. He takes very seriously how they tend to the flock. He takes very seriously if they have compassion on the flock, if they meet the needs of the flock, and if they are leading them down paths of righteousness, if they're leading them in correct doctrine. And so God takes very seriously also our responsibility underneath pastors. We are to pray for our pastors, we're to pray for our leaders and the teachers that God places over us. I appreciate your prayers for myself, although I'm not your pastor, but I appreciate your prayers for me personally, and for this ministry. And I pray that nothing I ever speak leads anyone astray, and I don't believe it ever has. I believe God has given me a revelation of wisdom to preach sound doctrine, and I take it very seriously. I pray about what I preach, what I speak over this radio broadcast each and every week. And so I just pray that you would also pray for me to keep me strengthened, to keep me protected, and to keep these messages coming each and every week. It all starts with Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. It starts with Him. If you don't know Jesus, I pray that you get down on your knees and ask Jesus to come in to your heart today. Ask Jesus to convict you of your sins and the Holy Spirit to convict you of sin, righteousness, and judgment. You ask Jesus to save you, and He will be faithful and true to save you. If you repent of your sins, you turn away from your sins, and you understand that you are a sinner and that you need a Savior, and that Jesus Christ's blood is sufficient to save you and to set you free and to take on the righteousness of God. By the blood of Jesus Christ, you are able to take on the righteousness of God. If you do that today, if you accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior, let me know, pureprairie@hotmail.com, and I will be happy to pray with you and to get you some materials on your Christian walk. And again, if you have prayer requests, let me know, pureprairie@hotmail.com. Let me hear from you. And I just pray that God is touching somebody out there today, and that you will be a new creation in Jesus Christ after this day. Well, thank you for listening today. God bless you. Tune in again next week. Have a great week.